Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is week 17, the final session in this series we've called The Power of Eight. And we're glad you're here with us for this particular session, because it's Basic Gospel, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is the final session, and it's all about love, all about the love of God. We read in 1 John that God is love. It's his very nature. It's his essence. It's what's moved him to do all that we see. It's why he sent Jesus, and it was that love of God that we responded to. So love really is the heart and soul of the gospel message. It's really the heart and soul of Christianity, and it's what we have to offer to the world out there. We know God. We know that he's love. We have that knowledge placed into our hearts, and we can share that love out there in the world at large. And when the world sees the love of God in action, it takes notice. It always has. It always will. So today we want to really dive in and take a look at the love of God. So as I said, Bob, we've all responded to the love of God. Any believer in Christ has responded to the fact that God has expressed his love to that person. And we see that right in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So what moved God to send Jesus into this world? It was his love of you and me. So that gives us some value and worth, doesn't it?
To know that
God loves us. And it was that love that we responded to. We also see this in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, or demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Talk about good news. God not only has this disposition toward us, but he acts on that disposition. He showed us in a very tangible way, and he sent Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross for us while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies. So if you really want to know about the love of God, if you really want to experience the love of God, you start at the cross, don't you?
Indeed.
Yes. That's where God demonstrated his love for you. And when you realize that Christ takes away your sins, that Christ died for your sins, that's when the love of God really becomes real in your heart. When I read through the book of Colossians and got to Colossians chapter 2, and it says that we who were dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made alive together with Christ. He forgave all of our sins. When those words hit my heart, and I truly realized that Christ had taken away not just some of my sins, but all of my sins, that's when I knew that I knew that I knew that God loved me. And that's when I became convinced. As Paul said, he was convinced in his great letter to the Romans, I'm convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. So we learn about the love of God at the cross. That's where it was demonstrated. John picks up on this theme as well in his first letter. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So again, if we want to know about the love of Christ, the love of God, it's the cross that we need to take a look at. And there we're going to see what his love really is all about.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and it is The Power of Eight, taking a look at God's love on this edition, the final edition. We're very glad that you're with us today. And Bob, as I've noted before, our regular listeners are exposed every day to the incredibly good news of the grace of God and the love of God in Jesus Christ. But one week from today, we have a terrific opportunity for our listeners to come and hear and be totally immersed in the truth of God's grace. And I know we're going to go into it in a lot of depth, and that's the reason I mentioned, you know, the bits and pieces that we're able to disseminate here on the radio broadcast. We put it all together in this particular conference Bob Christopher has, and we're looking forward to it. Simply Grace Conference with Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel is going to bring it all together. All the information is available at basicgospel.net/events. Today, the conference is only 1 week away, so we hope you've already registered. If not, we hope you'll do that today or over the weekend. So we hope to see you next Friday and Saturday for the Simply Grace Conference.
Yes, indeed. I mean, most of us are involved in churches, and we go and we might hear a 20 20-minute message or a 45-minute message, yeah. And we get some encouragement. Sometimes we get wowed by those messages, and then we maybe go to a midweek week Bible study, and then we go back to church the next week, and we get bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. But a conference like this really puts it all together. We know how those pieces are going to fit together. We see the big picture and what it means to us on a day-to-day basis. So don't miss this fabulous opportunity to join us next weekend for the Simply Grace Conference.
And go online to basicgospel.net/events for all the information and for registration. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we all responded to the love of God, and it's the love of God that captured our hearts, arrested our attention, and overwhelmed us. And we responded. We don't love God. He loves us first, and then we respond to that. And that's our love for Him, that response of faith, that believing that God did send Jesus on our behalf to die for our sins and to give us new life through faith in Him. Yeah. So we respond to the love of God. And when we respond to the love of God, God does something quite amazing. He pours that love into our hearts. So it's not something that's just an external act that God does for us. That's what He did at the cross. But once we receive that love, He pours it into our hearts. We see this in Romans chapter 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So this love that we saw demonstrated for us on the cross through the very death of Christ has now been poured into us. It's something that resides inside of us. It's an internal reality. Now, we see in Hebrews chapter 10, as a part of this new covenant, God said, I'll put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. Well, this is another way of saying exactly what Paul said in Romans 5:5. What has God done? He has etched the very law of love into our hearts so that we can love God and so that we can love others. So we have this love deep inside of us. So we are now equipped to do what God has called us to do. We see back in the Old Testament that the law was summed up in this, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Right. Well, they weren't equipped to do that. That was an external commandment, but they didn't have the internal provision to make that happen. And so God said to them, there's going to be a time where He would circumcise the hearts of the people and their descendants so that they could love. Mm-hmm. Well, that time was made real in Jesus. So as Paul said in Colossians 2, our hearts have been circumcised. And so now we're equipped. We have been equipped to love God and to love others. How did He do that? He poured the love of God into our hearts by His Spirit. He etched that law of love in our hearts, again, by His Spirit.
Right.
So we have the internal gifting and empowerment to truly love as God has called us to love. Now, when Jesus met with His disciples before His death on the cross, He was preparing them for all sorts of things. And we see, you know, John chapters 13 all the way to 17. This is just Jesus just pouring into the disciples to prepare them for what was coming and for what was going to happen after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as he's talking with them, He does something quite amazing. He garbs Himself as a servant. He gets water in a basin, and He goes and He washes the disciples' feet. And he says, I am giving to you the full extent of my love, and I am serving you. And as I have served you, I want you to serve others.
Right.
As I am loving you, I want you to love others. That's the real message of that great chapter. And then at the end of it, he says this, a new commandment I give you. So this isn't the Big Ten. This isn't the summation of the Big Ten. This has newness written all over it. And it's this, that you love one another. Now, that doesn't sound new. That sounds exactly like the old. But here's what makes it new. He says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Mm-hmm. So how are we to love others? In the exact same way that Jesus Christ has loved us. Well, how are you doing on that front? How are you measuring up? And, you know, in and of ourselves, we can't make this happen.
That's right.
But praise be to God that he has equipped us. He has poured his love into our hearts so that we can love others just as God in Christ has loved us.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes this commandment new? It's the fact that he's up the ante, so to speak. He's raised the bar and said, I want you to love others as I have loved you. And praise be to God that by his Spirit, we have that love in our heart. So you ask the question, how has God loved us? How has Jesus Christ loved us? And I think to get the answer, we need to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Mm-hmm. So here is the definition of love. And oftentimes we hear this passage read in weddings. I read it at every wedding that I officiate.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a powerful, powerful passage. But it defines, it tells us exactly how God has loved us. Now, I'm going to read it, and it's going to sound like these are just adjectives describing the love of God or what our love should be for others. But we have to realize that all these statements are action statements. So these words, when Paul says love is patient, that's an adjective in the English language. In the Greek language, it is a present active verb. It's a action that Paul is talking about. So remember that as I am reading through this. So love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, or love never fails. So all of these statements, these are 15 action statements that tell the story of God's love for you. And what you can do, and I certainly encourage you to do this, is to substitute the word God for love. And then at the end of each statement, put the with me or
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
So God is patient with me. God is kind to me. God does not envy or boast. God is not arrogant or rude. God does not insist on his own way. God is not irritable or resentful. God does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things. God believes all things. God hopes all things about you. God endures all things with you. And his love never ends or never fails or never falls away. That is the love of God for you. And you can just think about the moment that you responded to the love of God. You went through a whole bunch of stuff in your life to get you to that point.
I'll see.
Your life was probably a stinking mess. And you were just looking for any answer, and all of a sudden the gospel shows up. Well, God had been patient with you to bring you to that point so that you could respond to his good news. Paul talked about the patience of God in his life. I mean, here he was, blaspheming the name of Christ. He was persecuting those who followed Christ. He was doing everything he could to get rid of this sect called the Way. Mm-hmm. And he thought he was doing it for God's glory. He was zealous to get rid of this, to honor his God and his way of life, his religious way of life. And then he met Jesus. And he said, God was patient with me and showed me mercy at the right time. And it's no wonder that Paul starts this definition with the fact that God suffers long with each and every one of us. And what does his patience mean? His patience meant salvation.
Yeah.
God was patient with me, and when that patience touched my heart, it meant salvation for me. It means salvation for you. Kindness. God is kind. Now, this isn't just a disposition. This isn't the fact that he's gentle or meek or humble. This is the fact that he rolls up his sleeves and does something on our behalf that we cannot do for ourselves. And what is that? He saves us. Yeah. So this act of salvation, this act of making us alive together with Christ, is an act of kindness from God to us. So that's how God acts. So this love is an action. And this love has been poured out in our hearts. And as we respond to the love of God, we're going to see these kind of actions following suit in our own lives. We're going to find ourselves being patient with people and kind with people and not being envious or boastful about them or what we have. We're going to find ourselves not being arrogant or rude. This is what love is all about, and this is the love that's going to pass through us into the lives of others. And this is the love that has been poured out in our hearts. So it is an active verb. It has energy. It has power. It has all sorts of things involved in it that make a difference in this world.
Absolutely. Well, it's a clear and focused look at the love of God with Bob Christopher. And friends, we're glad that you're with us. This is session 17 in our study, The Power of Eight. And let me remind you also, friends, that it's only because of your gifts, those of you, our faithful friends, that we're able to be on the air and online every day proclaiming this truth of Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. We hope you'll help today by going to basicgospel.net. Click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. At Basic Gospel, we want to take this gospel of grace in Jesus Christ to new places where people are hungry for a message of hope. But we can't do it without you and the many others who will step up to help as well. So click donate at basicgospel.net and join with us with your gift today. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of a wonderful study series called Gateway to Grace, including its study guide. So that's if you get your contribution in by midnight tomorrow night. And we hope that you'll do that. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. But right now, back to Bob Christopher and the 17th and final session in our study, The Power of Eight.
Yes, indeed. So we're talking about the love of God. It's an action. It's powerful. I mean, and here's what it's done in our lives. It's not only the power that saved us. It's the power that knocked the fear out of us.
Yes.
You know, all of us come into this world, we're scared to death of God. We're scared to death that he's going to punish us at some point in our lives, if not now, certainly after we die. And perfect love, what does it do? It casts out that fear. As I say, as I've said time and time again, it punches it right in the face. Mm-hmm. And it says, out the door you go.
Yeah.
And that's the power of the love of God. And so we can respond to that, and we're no longer afraid of God. Mm-hmm. We can actually enjoy this relationship that he has put together through Christ Jesus and his finished work on the cross. So that's the power of God. It casts away all fear, and it gives us the confidence to go boldly into the throne of grace and calling him Daddy, Father.
Right.
Now, this love that we're to love others with, this isn't something that we can do on our own. It's not the byproduct of human effort. As Jesus said in his vine and branch illustration, apart from Christ, we can do nothing.
Yeah.
So don't expect to do this through human effort. Don't expect to figure out a way to make this happen on your own. Don't lean on your own understanding. Walk by faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because this love is going to be a fruit of the Spirit. So in Galatians 5:6, we read this, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything." So that's what the Judaizers were saying, that those who had been circumcised, they were the real spiritual ones as far as God is concerned. And if anyone wants to be spiritual like we are, then they need to follow the customs of Moses, be circumcised, follow the law like we do. So they were making a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision, between the Jew and the Gentile. And what Paul is saying to us here is that, hey, that counts for nothing. It means absolutely nothing as far as God is concerned. And then he says, here's what counts. And when Paul says, here's what counts, man, that's a stop down, take a look, pay attention verse. And here's what counts: faith working through love. So as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? We're going to see the fruit of the Spirit flowing through us. What is that fruit of the Spirit? It is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So how is this love that's been poured out in our hearts going to get out of our hearts into the lives of others as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, as we live our lives in the vine? And so when we live our lives in the vine, we're going to experience the fruit of that vine in and through us.
Right.
So that is good news. So walk by faith. That's what God has called you to do. That's the Christian life. We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we live in this body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Yeah.
It all goes back to love, doesn't it?
Indeed it does.
So we are responding to the love of God by faith. As we do, we're going to bear the fruit of love in our very lives. Now, as we come to the close of this series, The Power of Eight, I want to do so with a prayer. And it's not a prayer that I've come up with. It's a prayer that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3. And he says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." Make this prayer your personal prayer, and the love of God will be a reality in your life.
Bob, it's been a great study. Thank you for all that you have done to put it together for our listeners and for the staff as well. It's been a fantastic study, and thanks for that. Friends, also a reminder that if you would like to review any of the sessions of the study, you can visit the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, over the weekend, if you have a question about anything you've heard or anything that you would like to have answered Bible-wise or spiritually on Basic Gospel, well, just leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. That's our listener line, of course. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you. And again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Please remember that Basic Gospel needs your support as we bring this truth of Jesus Christ to the airwaves and online every day. You can give right now at basicgospel.net. Just click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. And we're going to send you a copy of Gateway to Grace for your gift by midnight tomorrow night. While you're there, be sure to get all the information on the Simply Grace Conference starting 1 week from today. That information available at basicgospel.net/events. Well, that's it for this week. For Bob Christopher and all the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.